The Old Testament, it's right behind the book of Judges, right before 1 Samuel. Ruth, I think it was almost 7 or 8 years ago, we went into study through the book of Ruth on Wednesday night, and of all the different studies that we've done through the books of the Bible, it was one of my favorites. But it's sort of like missions conference being one of my favorite weeks. Most of the books are some of my favorite books too, but the book of Ruth I really enjoyed and learned a lot from, and we're going to continue on our theme for the year is consider. We started the first week talking about considering Christ, considering who he was and what he did for us, and then we continued on talking about different things to consider. We talked about considering our ways, and last week we talked about considering the heavens and considering who God is. And that idea of considering is taking reflection, to take time to reflect on, some serious reflection on different things. Do we truly know who Christ is? And if we do, what he did for us? And do we care what Christ would want us to do? And this morning in the passages of Scripture, there was the title of this morning's message is Consider Which Way You Are Headed. Consider Which Way You Are Headed. And the main context of the message is found in the book of Ruth, and it's found there's two different characters here, one that is headed away from God and one that is headed towards God. And I think this morning, for sake of time, we're only going to be looking at the one that actually was going away from God. Can you imagine moving? I don't know about you, for the first time in many years, most of you know this summer I moved, but I only moved across town. And thankfully for all the help and all the different things, it went pretty smoothly. And we did move, how many years ago, 16 years ago or whatever it was, all the way here from Maryland. And boy, moving can be a pain. Moving is a lot of work. Moving is very difficult. And I'm looking around the room, and I know some of you have been to the Coast Guard and you've moved every 4 years, and you're like, you don't even know what you're talking about. But I just know that I'm thankful that when you get a place, hopefully you can stay for a while, because moving is a difficult thing. Now, can you imagine going through all the work to move and ending up in the wrong spot? And that's exactly what happens here. And the thought here is, in your Christian life today, are you moving towards the Lord? Are you going away from him? And the thought is, this destination is determined by direction. If you truly want to be closer to God someday, you need to be taking steps that are taking you that way. Because I honestly believe either you're getting closer to the Lord or you're getting farther away from him. In our Christian walks, there's those, the Bible says, if we'll draw nigh unto him, guess what? He'll draw nigh unto us. And we can get closer to God. And I think most people that are sincere in their Christian walk and sincere in their Christian life, they're saying, yeah, I want to get closer to God. I want to be close to the Lord. I want to be able to trust him. As Ms. Karen just sang about, we can't trust our own heart, but we can trust him in his way. He's too wise to be mistaken. He's not going to make a mistake. But before we get to that, there is something I'd like to add to that. Because the main part of the message is going to be, are you drawing closer to God or are you going away from God? But before we even ask that is, do you know God? Do you even know? When we say consider which way you're headed, the Bible teaches us clearly that there's two places that you go when you die. And you spend all eternity in one of the two places. It's a horrible place called hell or heaven. Heaven's being prepared for those that have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. In John chapter 14, he talked about to the disciples, I go to prepare a place for you. There, heaven is a wonderful place. It's not some made-up imagination. There is a place called heaven. There is a place called hell. And before we start considering, hey, am I drawing closer to God or getting farther away from him? I think we need to say, consider the fact, was there a day in your life when you turned to God? Was there a day in your life when you said, I put my faith and trust in him and him alone? Jesus himself said in John chapter 14, verse number 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. When God was working on my heart to become, to work inside the ministry, I started to write out a little track talking about which way. I never finished it, and it's just simply, which way are you headed? Because according to what the scripture says, All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That means all. That means each and every one of us. So that you say, that's kind of tough. Well, the Bible explains it. In Romans 5:12, it says, whereas by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Because Adam sinned in the garden, and it has been passed down through the male all that time, and we all are born with a sin nature. And because we had that sin nature, every single one of us are headed straight on a pathway, and at the end of that pathway is a horrible place called hell. Because the Bible says the wages of sin is death. That's speaking to the idea of a spiritual death. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And the only thing, Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And he's saying the only thing that can get you to heaven, the only thing that can pull you off that pathway and that roadway to hell is Jesus Christ. And putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and Christ alone for your salvation. Jesus Christ saw God. It says, but God commended his love toward us and that while we were yet sinners, he saw that we were all sinned. We're all destined to that horrible place, that Jesus Christ was sent to this world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You know, he came and he died on the cross to pay our sin debt for us. So there's no way I could say, okay, where are you going? Consider which way you're headed in your spiritual walk without asking you this question. First and foremost, do you know that you're headed to heaven? I mean, because the Bible says that we're headed one way and we're all on that pathway, and there is nothing that's going to be more powerful, nothing powerful enough to take you off that pathway than Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross when he died for our sin. As the lady sang earlier, there's power in the blood. It's the blood of, without blood, there's no remission of sins. And the question is, which way are you headed? I'm from up in Maryland, and you know, if I wanted to get to Maryland, I'm not going to go down south. I'm going to have to start going up north. If I want to end up in Maryland, don't want to take all the time, I'm going to have to, at some point in time, I'm going to have to turn around and start heading that way. We take 13, we go over the big Bay Bridge and Tunnel, and we go down there and go through all those little towns that have speed traps at them, and I'm not bitter, but all those little towns, you go in and out, and that's how you're going to get up there. And then you got to make start going west when you hit Dover to be able to get to where I live at, and things like that. You know, you have to be, if you want to be at a certain spot in the end, you have to go a certain direction. Destination is determined by your direction. And the question is today, if you died, where would you end up? Which way are you headed? If you're saying, hey, pastor, I'm not sure that I'm headed towards heaven, let us at the end of the service take a Bible and show you how you can know that you're on your way to heaven. And I'm not talking about my own opinions. We can show you from Scripture that the Bible says we're all sinners and that sin has to be paid for. Jesus paid for that sin, and the only way you can receive that payment is by putting your faith and trust in him and turning to God. And once you're there and once you know you're on your way to heaven, the question then is, are you headed closer to God or are you going farther away? Like I said, moving can be a pain. And this past year when we moved, my wife worked many, many days and weeks and months ahead of time to make sure everything was ready. And when we moved, we had so much help. We were able to get there and we actually were all unpacked. 95% of our stuff was all unpacked in one day. And that was just a blessing. I mean, the house was operable and things like that just within the first day or so. And we're thankful for that. But can you imagine moving and ending up in the wrong spot? Now, when you think about this little book of Ruth, it's a fabulous book, fantastic book. If you ever get a chance to study it, I think it'd be encouraging. And someday, if the Lord allows us, we'll go through it again. But it talks about a family, and the family is Elimelech's family. Elimelech decides, because there's a famine in the land, that he is going to move away from where he lives at to try to find a place that has food. And you say, pastor, what's wrong with that? He's just trying to provide for his family. Well, see, he was placed in Bethlehem, which means the house of bread. As an Israelite, he had a responsibility to not go where he's planning on going. He's leaving God's plan and God's purpose and God's best to go over to a place called Moab. You know, so what's wrong with Moab? Well, Moab was a cursed people. Moab, they said, you're not supposed to really spend time with one another because of the idols that they had worshipped and because of their false gods and because of their history. They were a cursed people. And the Bible even talks about how they were God's washpot in a sense. And we're not going to get into that tonight, but it just talks about that is not the place they were supposed to go. Now, even though they were having a famine over here, God intended for them to stay and learn something during that famine. Let's go ahead and pick up in Ruth chapter number 1. There's some really interesting things. And as I said tonight, this morning we're going to probably just talk about Elimelech. And tonight we're probably going to look at Ruth. But the example that's found in this chapter, one is headed away from God. The other one is headed towards God. And the question is, I want you to consider today, which way are you headed? First of all, are you headed to heaven or headed to hell? And get that fixed if it's hell. And secondly, in a spiritual sense, am I getting closer to God or am I going farther away? Look what it says in verse number 1. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled. Now, that sentence is very interesting because it tells us about something. It clarifies something. Okay, when did Ruth live? When did Elimelech lived? When did Boaz, Naomi, when did they live? They lived during the days of the judges. Now, during the days of the judges spanned from the end of Joshua's life all the way till the end of Samuel's life, or at least when Samuel turned it over to Saul as king. And during that day, it's known for one specific thing, that every man did that was right in his own eyes. So the scripture teaches us that during the days of the judges, everybody did what they thought was right. Say, well, that doesn't sound that bad. Well, as we heard Miss Karen's song, we can trust God's heart for our lives. We really can't trust our own. Because our own heart, the Bible says, is desperately wicked. It's deceitful. And that we need to follow God's law and God's word. And so every man did what was right in his own eyes. And what happens then during the times of the judges is that people, when they're doing what's right in their own eyes, they're living for themselves. They're worshiping false gods. They're doing all types of wicked things. God would send judgment. Sometimes the judgment would be in the form of a famine. Sometimes it would be in the form of another nation coming and enslaving them. During this time period, it's written during the time of judges, and more than likely the famine is there. And the reason why the famine is there is because God wants to teach his people something. He wants to teach this nation, hey, you've turned your back on me. You went to worship false gods. You went to worship false idols. And he sends the famine to help them understand, I need God. You need to stop worshiping false gods. They can't provide you the things you need. They can't provide you the things that you need to survive and the things that you're looking for. Only God himself can. So Elimelech's here with his family. He has a wife. He has two boys. He's there with his family. There's a famine. Now, what should he do? He should learn the things that God's trying to teach him. He should learn the things that God is showing him and directing him and giving him instruction about, just like the whole entire nation. But instead of Elimelech learning what God is trying to teach him through the famine, he decides, I'm going to go over here. And it's not that far away, 25 or 30 miles. You say there's a famine over here in Bethlehem, but not a famine in Moab. That's strange. You know, that's God. God can do that. And God's doing that to try to get the nation to turn back to him. So it says here, verse number 1, now it came to pass in the days of the judges. Once again, during the judges' rules, every man did what was right in his own eyes. It was a very dark time in Israel. It was very morally decayed. They couldn't trust people. God then would bring up a deliverer, a judge, that would many times free them. We know names like Samson. We know names like Gideon and Jephthah. You know, we know all those different names that God used to people to help bring them back to their freedom. And then the people would worship God for a little while. But after a while, then they would go back to worshiping false gods, and it was a cycle over and over. Now, the interesting thing is, when times are tough, sometimes even good men and good women make poor decisions. And that's exactly what happens here. Elimelech here, even though he was a person that was part of the nation of Israel, part of God's chosen people, chooses to make a bad decision. He chooses to leave God's place and God's purpose and God's promise that's found in the nation of Israel to go over to a place that was cursed. And when you do what's right in your own eyes, if I went back and looked at my notes from 7 or 8 years ago, and I wrote, if you do what's right in your own eyes, you make dangerous choices. You choose to leave a promised land for a polluted land. You choose to linger in a prodigal land. And they face damaging consequences. And you see that there's going to be discipline in this house, and that there's death in this house, and there's defeat in this house. And Elimelech, when he's making this decision, I am most positive that he does not think what's going to happen is going to happen. You see, they use the word sojourn here in verse number one. It says, "Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled, and there was a famine in the land, a certain man in Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn." Now, sojourn means that he's only going to be there for a little while. Doesn't mean that he's going to plant roots, and doesn't mean he plans on staying. He's just going there for a little while. And many times when the devil tries to get you to get out of God's plan and get out of God's place and get out of purpose, he says, "Hey, we're just going to leave for a little while. We're just going to go look over here." And that's what Elimelech does. He says, "We're going to go over here and we're going to sojourn here for a little while." And it says, "Sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons." Now, as the story goes along, he doesn't just sojourn there. He ends up dying there, and they end up staying there for 10 years. See, I think Elimelech does not ever imagine that he is going to stay there, that he's going to die in Moab, and that his two boys are going to die in Moab. I don't think he ever thought that when he left God's place for him. I don't think he ever said, "Hey, I'm over here where God's at. Let me go over here to Moab and die, and my two sons die, and leave my wife with nothing." He doesn't plan that. Elimelech is a perfect example of the devil tempting someone and saying, "Hey, look, you don't need to be super close with God. You don't have to go over the top. You don't have to read your Bible. You don't have to go to church. Sin will always take you farther than you want to go. Sin will always cause you to pay more than you want to pay. Sin will always keep you longer than you ever anticipated on staying." And Elimelech, he didn't consider what it meant when he left. He didn't consider what it meant to walk away from God for a little while. Times are tough and times are hard, and God is trying to teach the nation of Israel a certain thing. They try to get him to call us back to him, and he says, "Look, I'm not going to stay close to God. I'm going to walk away from God for just a little while." And he would have never imagined that he's going to die and his two boys are dying. Let's keep on reading here in verse number two. It says, "And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife was Naomi, and the name of his son was Mahlon and Chilion. And they were Ephratites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there." So the first thing is that they were going to sojourn in verse number one. Then you see in verse number two that they are going to continue. Verse number three says, "And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died." We see here that he's gone. He didn't go there to die. It's amazing. The nation of Israel, they always want to be buried in Israel. And there's some significance to that. You think about it. Abraham, you know, he bought that plot and put Sarah there. And Abraham wanted to be there. And what did Jacob say? Jacob says, "I want to be buried. Take Joseph, you make me a promise. I want to be buried back in the promised land." And what does Joseph say? "Don't you leave my bones here in Egypt. I want you to take me back." He's not leaving to go to Moab to die. He's leaving just because he wants to be able to get some temporary relief from what God's trying to teach him. And then it says in verse number four, "And Elimelech, Naomi's husband died, and she left and her two sons, and they took them wives." Once again, they're supposed to be just sojourning here. Taking some wives doesn't mean you're just planning on staying for a little while. "And they took them wives of the woman of Moab, and the name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other was Ruth," which, you know, the name of the lady who's on the book here. And it says, "And they dwelled there 10 years. You see the digression that's here. I'm going to stay here for a little while in verse number one. Verse number two, it says, I'm going to continue there. Verse number three, Elimelech dies. Verse number four, they take wives. And by the end, you see that they've been there for 10 years. You know, the devil is going to tell you, you can just walk away from God for a little while. And if we're going to consider, am I getting closer to God or getting farther away from God, we got to remember that if I'm not getting closer to God and I'm walking away from God, there's going to be penalties to pay. There's going to be a problem here, and we got to remember that. Let's keep on going. And then it says in verse number six, "Then she arose with her daughters-in-law, and that she might return from the country of Moab." So Naomi says, "I'm going to go back home. Look at what Moab has done to my family. They have completely taken my husband away, taken my boys away, and now I'm going to return back to God's place and God's purpose and God's plan." I want you to consider today, are we growing closer to God, or are we making a trip over and away from him? You don't want to move to Moab. You don't want to move. You know, the devil might promise you in Moab, hey, look, they got bread. In Moab, they have this, what you want. In Moab, you know, what it is a place of death. Think about this. He left to try to find bread, but what did he find? He found death. He left trying to find something for his family, but look at the end of his family. Did it help anything? It didn't. When you walk away from the Lord, when you try to fall back away from God, you know what's going to happen? You're going to affect others. There's three things, observations I want you to think about today. You know, he went looking for breath, life, and he found death. He went to Moab looking for bread, and he died there. You should beware of moving to Moab. And I'm not talking about a geographical move. I'm talking about moving away from where you should be. Bethlehem was exactly where God wanted Elimelech. It was where God wanted his family. Instead, he takes his family away from godly influences. It takes away from his family, and he moves to Moab. There's three observations here I want you to think about. When people move to Moab, they're going to take other people with them. When people move to Moab, they're going to take other people with them. Consider this. When he left, he didn't just leave himself. He took his wife and his kids. The decision he made affected other people. Most people say, hey, my sin's not bothering anybody. My sin's not affecting anybody. My sin's not hurting anybody. It's going to only affect me personally, and why should I care? Sin always hurts those that are around you. Sin has a ripple effect, just like righteousness has a ripple effect. When you're going to move to Moab, the question is, who are you going to take it with you? When you decide, I'm not going to live for God anymore, I'm going to stop serving, I'm going to stop listening, I'm going to stop worshiping, who are you taking with you? Who is it that watches you and cares about your testimony? Who, while you're living for him and trying to go closer to him, knows you and you're trying to influence him? But when you decide to walk away from God, who is it that you're going to take with you? He made a decision that influences two boys and influences his wife also. And remember, yes, you can go back. The wonderful thing about Moab, the wonderful thing about our God is God can be merciful to those in Moab too. God can still work into people's hearts. It's a book about providence. It's a book about redemption. It's a book about how God works in the heart and the life of this little Moabitess woman. And Naomi is affected. Naomi wants to return back to Bethlehem, and she's allowed to, and she's going to. But the point is, is it worth leaving? Is it worth walking away from God? Because look who you're going to take with you. And even if you return, what are you going to leave behind? Even if you say, okay, I'm going to get right with God, I'm going to come back, who are you going to leave over in Moab? I thought about some of the different people that went towards God and people that went away from God, some examples in the Bible. I thought about Cain and Abel. Cain wanted to do things in his own way. Abel says, hey, I'm going to do things God's way. I thought about Abraham and Lot, and famines cause people to make bad decisions. So remember that when there was a famine, Abraham decided to go down to Egypt. And who did he take with him? He took Lot with him. He took Lot's wife with him. And Abraham, yes, got right, came out of Egypt. And yes, Lot and his wife came out of Egypt also. But the day came when their herdsmen were not getting along. And Abraham goes to Lot, and he says to Lot, hey, look, you'd go this way and I'll go that way. You choose which way you want to go. And Lot looked at Sodom, and it says in Sodom, what does it say about it? It says that it was watered like what? Egypt. They might have left Egypt, but Egypt was still in Lot's heart. And as Egypt was in Lot's heart, what's going to happen here is Lot decides to go the wrong way. Yes, Abraham left Egypt and didn't bother him, but the people he made the decision for, the influence that he had, he left Lot. And guess what happens? Lot ends up, you know, this is where, you know, where Moab is. It's from Lot and the relationship he had. That's where that whole family came from. I'm not trying to confuse you, but I'm saying that, hey, when you make a decision to walk away from God, there is family that you're going to influence, and there is friends you're going to influence. If you're here and you're in God's spot and you're God's place, Bethlehem, Judah, the house of bread was where it was Elimelech. When you walk away, there is going to be somebody who's hurt. There is going to be somebody you're going to take with you. There is somewhere your testimony is going to be hurt and the cause of Christ is going to be hurt when you decide to walk away from God. But the question is, who do you leave behind? Sometimes we don't even think about that. When a husband or a wife or father or mother make a decision to move their family from another church, even though it's where God wants them to be, but it's a time of famine, it's a time of hard time, and they make an unwise decision, they go somewhere else, and then they get their heart right and they come back, Sometimes their kids never make up from that. Now, their kids are responsible for themselves. The kids, God loves and God works and God plays. But remember, there it can affect you. Remember, when you leave for Moab, you're going to take others with you. The second thing I want you to think about is most people, when they move to Moab, they do it for the wrong reason. He went because of a famine. Lots of people make that bad decision during famines. Something that is difficult, that tries our faith, will cause many people to say, hey, I got to go. Isaac did the same thing. He didn't go to Egypt. Instead, Isaac went to the Philistines. And you say, I wonder if you trust God or you trust yourself. See, in the famine, Elimelech came to this moment. He says, okay, I can't trust God anymore. I got to go over here because I got to trust myself. You know, if we trust the Lord's heart, like we heard earlier, it's am I going to trust in God? You know, what can I produce? Elimelech could produce Moab. Elimelech could go over there and could buy bread. Elimelech thinks he can provide for his family over here. Over here means I'm trusting God in the famine. I'm trusting that God can take care of me. Remember, many times when someone chooses to leave God, it's because they've learned not to trust him anymore. It's a wrong reason when you go to Moab. Friends, famines, they come and go. Famines come because of sin, like you see here in the nation of Israel. Sometimes famines come because of the providence of God, like you see in the story of Joseph. But be very sure of this. God is the one in charge of the bounty, and God's the one in charge of the famine. Be very sure that you can always trust him. The famines do not last forever. I thought it was an interesting study, and if I'm right, there is only 13 recorded famines in all the Bible. 13. We know it was used different times to try to get Israel to wake up, only 13 times. You know what? They started, they ended. God's never started in it. God's always been there. God is longer than the famine. Seasons come and go. Famines come and go. Famines are only in this chapter, but later on you're going to see the bread comes back to Bethlehem. We need to realize that we should not move away from God just because times are dark. The Bible, a man once said, do not doubt in the darkness what you decided in the light. Most people move to Moab because of the wrong reason, and they're moving. Elimelech is moving because God is trying to teach him something, and sometimes when life is going hard and tough, we start looking to how we can fulfill what we think we need and want instead of staying and trusting that God can provide exactly what we need. The third thing, not only does it you take others with you and you go for the wrong reason, when people move to Moab, they stay longer than they intended. They stay longer than they attended. You go back here and you see verse number 3. It says, Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. And then she was left. In verse number 4, they took wives. But you see in verse number 5, Emmalon and Chilion died, also both of them. And they stayed longer than they thought. He was expecting to get something, but he never received it. Imagine what he lost. Imagine what Elimelech lost in Moab. Imagine what he left behind. He dies there. His boys die there. He's there to try to take care of his wife. And then we come to the realization that he not only does not take care of his wife, but instead he makes damaging decisions. I doubt very seriously that he never thought he'd go back. I doubt for sure he never thought his sons would go back. But look at how much he lost. Look at things through God's perspective. Look how God sees things. There is something worse than bad circumstances. There is something worse than just going through a famine. There is something worse than just going through a dark time in life. That's a bad choice. When you make a bad choice, you're not the only one that lives with it. Your children live with it. Your spouse lives with it. The people who love you live with it. Stop looking for a way out of situations. Instead, stay put spiritually. Continue to grow closer to God. See what God's trying to do. See how God's trying to work in your life. The Lord can bless, and the Lord will bless. Later on, you're going to see in the story, in Bethlehem, there's bread. There's people who stayed in Bethlehem, people who did what was right, and God's going to bless a man like Boaz. And wherever you're at in your journey today, let me encourage you, don't go away from him. You see in the story here, this is a very sad story. A man was right where God wanted him, and he chose to leave because of a famine. And because he chose to leave, he started to walk away from God. And I don't know who or when or what moment in time you decided to say, hey, I don't care. I don't want to grow close to God anymore. I want to start going the other way. consider which way you're headed today. Are you headed closer to God? Are you someone who's reading their Bible, praying, faithfully listening, faithfully attending church? Are you someone who's serving? Are you someone who says, I'm seeking after the Lord with all my heart? Or are you someone saying, times are kind of tough and hard. I don't see God working and you're walking away. See, I think either you're headed towards God or you're walking away from him. What are you doing today? Consider, take some time to reflect. In these series of messages we have about consider, I know we have an invitation time, but it's not just meant for here and now, but it's meant for you to take with you and consider the things. Are you determined to make it towards God? You know, in the story, Ruth goes in a little while, and she determines. She makes a great proclamation to Naomi, and she says to Naomi, I'm not going anywhere. I'm staying here. And it says, actually, go down to verse number 16. It says, Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. She's speaking to Naomi, for whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried, and the Lord do so to me, and more also of aught be death part thee and me. What she's saying is, I am going towards God. No matter what, I'm making this commitment. This commitment is a long-term commitment. I'm heading right towards God. Elimelech says, I'm walking away from him. Elimelech probably did not ever consider that he was going to die in Moab and his boys were going to die in Moab. We never know what it's going to mean if we walk away from God. Well, let's go back. The first question was, consider which way you're headed. Are you headed towards heaven or are you headed towards hell? And I know that's very blunt and very honest, but that's the way, you know, the Bible is. There's one of two eternal destinations, and we should make sure that you know that you're on your way to heaven. And if you want to know more about that, we're going to give you a chance. But the next question is, am I heading closer to God? Where I'm at right now, in the last week, did I get closer to God or did I get farther away from him? In the last month, it's February 2nd, in the last 32 days, 33 days, have I grown closer to God at the beginning of this year? Sometimes I remember those commitments I made at the beginning. Am I closer today to God than I was 32 days ago? Or have I fallen back some? Because remember, that destination is determined by your direction. Are you heading towards him? Are you taking steps? I think we will all say, yes, of course I want to be closer to God. Yes, of course I want to know him. Yes, of course I want his blessings. Yes, of course I want this, I want that. But there's steps. What direction are you heading in? Are you headed towards him or are you headed away from him? This morning, I want you to consider which way you're headed. Elimelech said, I'm gonna walk away. Just for a little while. But he never realized how much it was cost. He took someone with him. He left for the wrong reason, and he stayed longer than he ever expected. This morning, consider which way you're going. And if for some reason you're walking away from the Lord, see the example of Elimelech and see how God worked and dealt in his heart and life to just get a hold of him, and he just didn't listen. And see the punishment that was there. See the chastisement, the discipline that happened there. Don't move to Moab. Don't make the decision to walk away from God. It is a dangerous place. Don't go there. Instead of going towards Moab, we should run to God. That's what we should be looking for in our lives. But ask yourself this question. Which way are you headed in your spiritual life? Let's go ahead and stand to our feet.